Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Beyer. Let's get growing. Show today. I am so excited to introduce my guest, Eve Clowers, who is going to just dazzle us with her incredible stories of traveling around the world and growing gardens in the craziest of places. She lives on a mountaintop in Montana and makes the most incredible cheese, has the most loved chickens of anybody you'd ever meet, and just is gonna, this is an interview you won't want to miss. So welcome to the show, Eve.
Thank you.
And as always, I go right into the questions. There's no jumping around with me. So my first question I ask everybody is, tell us a little bit about your very first garden. You know, how old were you? Were you a kid? Were you an adult? You know, what'd you grow? How big was it? Just really quick, just give us your introduction to gardening.
Okay. Well, I never as a kid had any gardening experience. I lived in the suburbs. At that time, nobody had gardens that I knew of.
Where? Not Montana. So what suburb? Where'd you grow up?
Arlington, Virginia.
Oh, outside of Washington, D.C. Crazy.
Yes, and Staten Island, New York, and Southern California, San Pedro.
Wow. Okay.
And there were more places, you know. Uh-huh. But those were the longest. And we didn't grow a garden. My mom didn't do that.
Okay, so sorry, I didn't mean to. So tell us the story.
I never really thought I had one until I got busted in Rhodesia in Africa and got 6 months in prison, and there were no white people in my section, and I was bored and asked the warden.
Wait. Let's go back just a second here. So can you kind of give us like a time zone for this? Like what year was this?
Okay, I was 25.
Okay.
I was 25 years old. I'd been married and divorced.
Oh my goodness, already? And so you're in Africa and they have segregated cells? Is that what you're saying? Okay.
They have the blacks, the coloreds, and the white. And the white people had the best stuff. Uh-huh. You know, like a room with bars on it and your own bathroom and a kitchen where they gave you so much food every day and you cooked your own food on a coal stove. They gave you a little coal every day and
you had to cook your own food?
Yeah, you had to roast your own peanuts, and they gave you a little chunk of meat, which I gave to the cat that saved my life, and a few vegetables. They let the black people grow gardens, but the white people were supposed to sit there and do nothing. But when I asked them for the stuff to grow a garden, they gave it to me. And so I did that for 6 months, and it was great. And I dried it, and I took it with me when I left. They were amazed.
I'll bet. That's got to be the story of the century. That's just the best story. So, what'd you grow?
Carrots and lettuce, greens, and let me think, green beans. I could actually grow those kind of things there.
That's the craziest story.
Everything they gave me. Celery. I grew my first celery there, and I've grown it every year since. I've been here for 34 years.
Wow. I want you to teach me how to grow celery. I've tried a couple of times and I've been very unsuccessful.
I'll plant next week in pots.
In flats? Is that what you said?
That's my secret.
Okay. All right.
You got to start celery really early.
Okay. And you put it in flats? For some reason, I keep picturing like trying to grow it in a milk carton or putting some kind of a milk carton around it so it grow tall or straight or something.
Well, that's for when they're maturing, if you don't want them to be lovely green. They think you want to have pale looking celery. That's why you put the cardboard around it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Okay. So then my next question is, what does organic gardening or earth-friendly gardening mean to you?
Not using any chemicals or poisons.
And who inspired you, or what inspired you to start using organic techniques?
Well, I guess I first became aware of it with Rodale Organic Gardening Magazine.
Awesome. And that's kind of where
made
I learned.
Sense. It's always made perfect sense to me to not poison the food I eat.
Right?
Hello?
I love your honesty. That's just excellent. How did you learn how to grow organically? Same thing or differently or from the magazine or?
Reading the organic gardening magazine.
And
I'd never seen an organic garden. I didn't have anybody teach me how to do. I used books.
I love it. Okay, so let's talk about your garden this year. Tell us about something that grew well this year.
No, it wasn't a very spectacular garden last year. Nothing was better than ever.
It was a tough year, wasn't it? I thought it was a tough year last year.
I don't know.
We got that big freeze right in September.
They're all different. And I'm at a very high altitude.
Tell us about what altitude you're at. Tell my listeners so they're inspired and be like, well, if this woman can grow a garden way up high like that on that mountain, because what's your elevation? We're 2,300 feet, I think.
43. I cannot. One year out of 34 years that I grew tomatoes, and they were heirlooms, and it was like 2 years ago. It was awesome. It was my dream come true, but last year, none. So,
all right, well, tell us about the year, season before. That's good for me. Tell us about why did those tomatoes grow so well?
Maybe because it was the first time I grew heirloom, but I saved the seed and grew the same the following year, and they just, I don't know, it was too short.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't try to grow them, really. It's a waste of my space and time.
Yeah.
And I cannot grow peppers. Green beans, 1 out of 3 years, they make it. Usually, they're almost ready, and they freeze solid. Let's see, cucumbers, forget it. Even with greenhouses, with stoves, it just can't be done.
So what is your most successful crop? What do you grow that you like? Carrots or something?
Carrots are good. Potatoes, all the coal crops, all kinds of greens, snow pea pods, beets, kohlrabi as well, lots of herbs. And medical marijuana does really good, believe it or not. It seems to be able to take a light frost better than some things.
Sure. Okay. So how about something you're going to try this season coming up that's going to be new? Anything you're going to try this year that you haven't tried before?
You know, probably not. Because I've tried everything that I haven't tried before. And most things won't do it.
Now, were you telling me you tried sunflowers this year for the first time?
Yep, and they were almost there. It was so sad. They're hard to cover up.
Well, everything was sad this year. Our corn crop, Mike had one of his best corn crops, and it was so sad to see him lose that. I mean, we got a frost like the very first, like a hard, cold frost, and we just lost everything like
right.
The first week in September, right?
I did put a propane heater in the marijuana greenhouse, which is just, It's not any warmer in that greenhouse than outside. It just keeps the wind off, that's all. But I did put that propane on to help that marijuana through that. It was cold up here. It was like 20.
Yeah. And then I think we had 21. I mean, I think I remember it was just like there was nothing that was going to make it, no matter how hard we covered it or what we did. Yeah. And I think we can cover down to like 27. I think like 26, 27 writes in there. And then beyond that is too cold for us to cover or do anything. Sorry, yeah. What'd you say now?
I forgot.
Let me just, since you're the first one that's mentioned medical marijuana, like, can I ask about like some of the uses for that or like what's that?
Oh, sure. For? I mean, for our personal use, aches, pains, arthritis in the hands, mm-hmm. It seems to really help that. And my husband is a depressive, but not if he smokes pot. I think it's the best antidepressant in the world, really. I've seen people on pills and people smoking pot. And believe me, the side effects with the pot are way less.
Yeah.
Or there are none.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Feel good. You're not depressed anymore.
And now that's not an easy plant to grow. That's a pretty difficult plant to... I mean,
they say
it grows like a weed, but to actually get medicine out of it, there's some tricks to that, right?
Well, fertilize. I just learned a trick this summer from a friend visiting from the South who said, put a bag of alfalfa pellets
really?
On... But your bed that you're growing the pot in.
On the what? On the.
On the bed you're growing the pot in.
The bed. Okay. Uh huh. And put alfalfa pellets. Okay. Well, there's a tip for listeners today then.
That's a fun. I'm going to do it and I'm going to have a good crop.
Okay. How about. Secrets for eating or harvesting the vegetables or fruit on time, because that's always my toughest thing is getting the food harvested and just finding time to pick it and clean it and get it in the fridge.
Well, you know, I do have a secret.
Okay.
And it's not a secret. I'm trying to tell everybody. When things start ripening, you've only got like a handful of each thing. You hate to get out your sealer and your blancher and all that stuff for a handful of food. So what I do is I pick 10 green beans, a couple of carrots, a broccoli head, a cauliflower head, some cabbage, some greens, and make 2 gallons of the mixed vegetables.
Ooh, I like that.
And I make veggie packs. There's leeks in there. Throw a leek in. A kohlrabi. As things ripen, each veggie pack is a little different. You've got snow pea pods and some, and onions and cabbage.
And then do you freeze them? Is that what you're doing with
them?
Oh, I love
yep.
it. That's the greatest idea I've ever heard. Yeah, I knew you were going to be the best guest and just sharing just ways
I love
to
so much.
Do
I love
things.
And I cook it and I eat it. And my husband, he doesn't even know what it is, but he eats it by the gallon.
You know, I was going to ask you to tell our listeners about what kohlrabi is. Is that, my mom would probably kill me. Is that like broccoli or is it, what am I thinking? Kohlrabi, like, what's
kohlrabi? Let's see, it's kind of like a apple with arms. It's crunchy, like harder than an apple. It can be the size of an apple.
And then do you just eat it raw like an apple or do you cook it?
Well, I grate it into coleslaw and salad.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's kind of like jicama in a way.
Yep, I know what. Now I'm picturing it. Uh huh. Cool. I love it.
And it's like is a keeper. I can keep it. I still have some. I still have carrots. My potatoes are not very big this year. I usually have the whole winter supply, but not this year. And when I don't have enough food, I buy organically from Azure Standard in Oregon. And they deliver.
And that's like an ordering
It's like an organic farm for 40 years, and they sell bulk food. You don't know about Azure?
No, I do. I do. I just, you know, trying to share with my listeners in case they don't know.
Because food I buy bulk.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I can't grow, of course, wheat, and I buy whole wheat and white flour, 50-pound bags, sugar, popcorn bulk, brown sugar, things I can't grow. Mm-hmm. Soy sauce, and let's see. I just got an order recently. You can buy organic animal feed there also. And it does come, some of it is from Big Sky Organics in Montana, which is silly to go all the way there and then order it back. But it can be cheaper because the shipping was very expensive to have it brought to Kalispell locally, you know.
Tell us about what animals you have on your place up there.
Well, I've had a milk cow for 35 years.
The same cow?
And I'm milking right now.
Does a
not
cow
the same
have
cow. Third
How
cow.
How long does a cow live? I have no idea.
People don't really keep them till they die like horses.
Uh-huh.
So I don't think people really know. Same with pigs, but my first milk cow got arthritis and had to be put to sleep at 16.
Oh, well, that's a long life.
Not long enough.
Okay, so you've
my cow now is supposed to be a long-lived ancient breed, a milking Devon, an awesome milk cow. And we're down to about a gallon a day right now. Creamy cheese. And I raise a pig every year who lives with the baby cow. And then I butcher a steer and a pig in the fall every year and a bunch of chickens. I have chickens and I only eat my own meat. I don't buy meat. I haven't bought meat in 35 years, and I am really healthy.
You are really healthy, and you live just an amazing life. You just fascinate me every time I talk to you or see you and just your adventures, and you just live a really natural, down-to-earth life, like living off the ground, the earth and the land.
I went skiing this morning, and I was just... I was just laughing. It's just so beautiful and so free and nobody around and quiet. And
what a
it's beautiful where I live.
Today.
I'm really blessed.
And but you've worked hard to build that.
And that's another reason why I'm healthy.
Right, right.
I believe.
I think so, too. All right. Well, so how about, do you want to tell us anything about the cheese that you make? That is just some of the best cheese in the whole world. It's so good.
Oh, boy. I make Montana Jack aged from 1 month to a year. It depends how long it can last. And this year, I started smoking mozzarella, and it is, it's so much better than plain mozzarella.
Oh, it can't get better than what I've tasted. I can't
believe it. Oh, the smoked is just out of this world. In fact, I just picked up a load of apple tree prunings from Bill Hafen last night.
Oh,
loaded it today, and I'm going to smoke some Jack and mozzarella together. I should throw a chicken in there while I'm at it. I might.
Now, how do you tell us a little bit about the can you tell us a little bit about the process of making cheese? Is it really hard, or like you, so you take the milk, the cream, which part of the milk you milk the cow, and then what?
I leave the cream on.
Okay.
Cheese is really rubbery without cream.
Okay.
I don't know what they do to the store-bought cheese to make it not rubbery, but no. Mine's full fat, and it takes about 3 hours to make the Instarella, which is ready to eat as soon as it's cold, but the mozzarella, then you dry it, you wax it, and age it.
So
that takes longer.
So what do you do in the 3 hours? Like, do you cook it, or
heating,
do you stir it, or
you're
like,
adding rennet, which is, I use a vegetable rennet instead of the calf's stomach lining rennet.
And where do you get a vegetable rennet from? What's rennet to begin with?
Rennet solidifies the milk.
Okay, so it
makes it one big curd.
Okay.
And then you cut that curd, and then you heat it, and then you drain it.
Oh.
It's pretty simple. I mean, I just learned from reading a recipe, and I screwed up in the beginning, and unlike other people, I didn't give up because the milk kept coming every day. I had to figure it out quick.
I love that. I love it. All right, and now you're starting to smoke it, huh? Okay, cool. How about, do you have any special techniques for cooking any other weird or unusual foods you want to share?
I try to steam a lot.
Okay.
And if I fry something, I use ghee, organically made by me and my cow.
And ghee is kind of like a form of butter, right? Is that like
clarified butter? Shelf life of infinity.
And you get that from your own cow?
Yep, I make ghee. And the best time to make it is right when your cow calves, your milk is fresh, and your cow just went on fresh grass. That's like the ideal time to make it. And that's when I make it.
Cool. How about a favorite recipe you like to cook with something from your garden?
Oh, I don't know. I love potato salad.
Ooh.
Potatoes are my favorite food.
Anything you put in potato salad that's different or unusual? I make kind of a fun potato salad.
Green olives.
Mmm, okay.
And dill.
And dill, cool.
I only discovered dill and cooking in the last 5 years because palm coming back from Europe, they use it a lot in Romania and stuff, and I started putting it in everything. I really like it. Dill.
Cool. I like that.
Fresh.
Okay. How about your favorite tool that you like to use? Like, if you had to move and you could only take one tool with you, what tool couldn't you live without?
Well, at the dollar store, I found a little, like, hoe on one end and a fork on the other end. One tool. You just turn it over, and it's a little fork. a fork that you would, like, hoe with.
Cool.
And then the other side is a little tiny hoe.
Nice.
And I've been using that a lot. I like that.
And is it like kid size from the dollar store or just regular adult size? Nice.
Yeah.
How about a favorite reading material? Book or magazine? We talked about Rodale's. Would that be it? Or?
I don't read anymore.
Okay. That works.
My favorite book that taught me everything I know, I could tell you that.
Yeah.
That's Carla Emery's Old Fashioned Recipe Book.
Excellent.
Are you familiar with it?
No. Nope.
It's an encyclopedia of country living.
Wow.
And It will tell you everything you need to know about living my particular lifestyle.
You should write a book, Eve.
You know, I get up at 6:30 and I'm not done with everything till 11.
Oh my goodness.
At night.
Wow.
And there's no time to read or write.
I'll come write a book about
it. It is a very time-consuming lifestyle I'm living here.
I'll come write a book about you. Come visit. And
okay.
Tell us about your garden in Australia.
Well, I lived on a station, a sheep station, in a small, very small town, post office and a pub, and a little nurse's station. And I grew a huge garden there. It was really easy. It was beautiful. It was almost ready to harvest. And I went to town, which was like 50 miles away, so it's an all-day trip. Come home, garden gone.
What happened?
Grasshoppers. Grasshoppers came and ate every bit of grass, anything green, in the whole town.
Just,
in a day.
Oh, my goodness. A cloud of grasshoppers come in a cloud, right?
Yep. I couldn't believe it.
Crazy.
I came back, like, where's my garden? Oh. I'd never heard of anything like that.
So how many countries have you lived in?
I had a garden in Kenya, too. That garden in Rhodesia, every time I stopped for a minute, I planted something.
You had a garden in Kenya, and so how long were you there for?
3 years in Kenya.
Now, were you in the Peace Corps then? I know you told me once you were
in
the Peace Corps.
No.
You were just traveling around.
I was looking for George and Jay Adamson of Born Free fame.
Uh-huh.
I went there to go see if I could work with them living with the lions. I know.
And ended up in Kenya growing a garden for 3 years.
Yes.
And so what did you do there? Did you find them?
When I started asking around where they lived and everything, they said to me, they're split up. He hates women. He lives with a English guy named, and I remember the guy's name, Tony Fitzgerald. Just him and George Adamson lived in the bush with these lions, and they hated women. They were saying, you can't get near, but you could get a job with this wife. She's still writing books, and she lives outside of Kenya. I knew where she lived. And they said, you can get a job in a second for her as a secretary because she needs a new one every week. She was such a... That was her reputation. And I loved those books. And I just had this dream to go work with lions.
So did you get to see lions and work with lions at all? Or just... What did you end up doing over there?
I did a lot of... diving, snorkeling, and spearfishing, and living on the beach. And have you been to my? Yeah, you've seen my shelves hanging in my kitchen. That's my shell collection. I collected them. I love collecting things. And I worked for United Nations Environment Program as a typist.
Oh.
Because I am, like, one of the fastest typists in the world. I was.
And now you live where you don't have a computer.
No, but I found an electric typewriter in the dumpster, and I love this thing. I sat right down and typed a whole bunch of letters, and I've still got it.
Awesome.
Can you believe that?
Yes.
It works perfect. I love it.
Now, do you have solar panels or a generator? Any? You have no power at all?
Solar.
Wait, what?
Solar.
You do have solar panels?
Yes.
So you could charge like a Kindle or a little cell phone or something to type
on?
Oh,
I could if I wanted.
I mean,
I don't
type on my cell phone constantly. And you have phone up there, so you could have internet.
Yeah, I don't have time. Remember,
right,
11 o'clock, I'm done.
I know. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
When you make everything, cook everything from scratch, it just takes all darn day.
But it's worth it, and you enjoy it, right?
Yep.
I mean,
I'm helping.
I know you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't love it. You wouldn't be doing it if you didn't love it.
That's right.
So.
It is choice. You know, I could have been anybody I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
I could have made lots of money. Like mm-hmm. I said, I'm a very fast typist. And I have a brain, you know. I could have been anybody, but this is what I wanted to be.
You are anybody. You are somebody. You are somebody that we just love to have on our planet and in our community. And I know that you're a great friend, and a lot of us just enjoy time with you. So
try not to hurt.
All right, here's my final question. If there was one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would that be? Like, what do you think is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to, you know, either our local area or a national or global scale?
Pesticides.
Yep.
Pesticides. They're killing the bees, and that's going to kill us. Plain and simple. There's no magic about it. They're killing the bees, and our food won't get pollinated, and we'll all die. Except me, because I have a stash.
So do you have, like, a call to action or anything you'd encourage listeners to do to prevent using pesticides? Like, should they be writing their congressman, or should they just be using their dollar to buy organic food or growing their own? Or what would you suggest that listeners could do to help save
growing
bees?
Their own is really the smartest thing to do, I think. But you can't always do that. So you need to support your local organic people, your farmers markets, your egg selling people, and your health food store. I mean, you really have to not buy the poisoned food. Stop it.
Okay. How about an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into that dirt and start their own? Like, if they're a little trepidatious, or they're kind of like me who didn't know how to grow a thing, couldn't keep a geranium alive barely.
You know, besides the marijuana, mm-hmm. I think gardening is almost just as medicinal. You kind of need both, because you might be sore after gardening all day, bending on your knees. I mean, it's not going to kill you. You might be sore, and then they smoke a little pot. But when you pick that first most beautiful broccoli in the world that you grew, and you taste it, you'll know that that's the way it should be. It's all natural. That's how everybody used to grow a garden. I don't know what happened. The war was over, and now people just throw food away. Stop wasting it, I would also say, is really important. Stop throwing it away.
I like that. Eve, thank you so much for being on the show today and sharing your incredible knowledge and expertise and just amazing life with our listeners. I know this is going to be one of the most listened to episodes, because it is just packed full of great knowledge and things for inspiration for people to get out there and try it. And if you can do it up there at 4,300 feet, they can do it anywhere.
Anybody can do it, even in a pot.
Thanks for thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, Jackie. Nice to talk to you and the world.
Thank you for listening to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I would like to encourage you to visit our website at mikesgreengarden.wordpress.com/organicgardenerpodcast, where you can check out the links to everything we talked about today in the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and remember, grow local.